This is Twa Teams One Street from the Evening Telegraph, the only podcast as obsessed with Dundee and Dundee United as you are. On this episode, it's the same old story for Dundee United as they keep on winning. Over the road at Dundee, their season continues to stall, and you've had your say on our team of the decade. Hello and welcome to another edition of this particular podcast, number 46. Thanks for sticking with us for this long. We've also managed to hit 20,000 downloads, I think, over the course of this amount of time we've been doing this podcast.
Have you had to count them all up over the past week?
Just one by one. Sure. Yeah. It's quite analog and old-fashioned, but there you go. Welcome to the modern age. Well, but done, yeah, mate. Thanks for everyone who's been listening and getting involved. But same old story for us. I'm joined by George Cran, as you heard there. And sport editor Graham Finnan's here as well.
Hello, everyone.
We were wanting to kind of just reach out to everyone who listens to this podcast and say thanks for all the communication that's been getting poured in. We've had a few people coming on to us about the Team of the Decade show that we did. And we just want to say that, you know, this podcast's always open to people wanting to make points about Dundee, Dundee United, Scotland, general football, anything we say on this podcast. And the number to phone for that is the Twa Teams One Street fan line, which is 01382 575 520. If you send in a wee message to that, it's an automated line, so when you phone in, you'll reach a kind of answer machine sort of system, and we'll kind of play them out on the show or take snippets from it and discuss things around it. So if you want to get in touch, there's that way, or you can email us sport@eveningtelegraph.co.uk or on Twitter, which is @tilly_sport. Brilliant. Now we've got that out of the way.
Well done, mate.
Done well there.
Done. Yeah.
Get involved, everyone. We want to hear what you've got to say.
We want to hear what people have to say, because obviously there's a lot of different opinions out there and things that are said in the podcast that you either agree with, don't agree with, want to add to, want to slag or whatever. That's fine. Yeah. We want to hear from it. So
I'm sure not everyone agrees with what we've got to say, Carl.
No, most people don't agree with what I've got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, get in touch.
We know that. But yeah, same old team and sort of the same old story for City clubs, unfortunately. Dundee United, well, not unfortunately for Dundee United, they're doing well. Unfortunately for Dundee, but Dundee United rolling on with their unbeaten run and Dundee sort of stalling. We'll start with United. Great win down at Palmerston, George. You were there watching your team, Queen of the South.
I was completely impartial.
And United, of course.
Yeah, I was there working to report on Dundee United.
An upstanding man and journalist, as always.
Me?
Yes.
All right, am I? Bloody hell.
Reportedly.
It wasn't the best of games. I think anyone down there would agree with that. It was pretty tight, but United did enough to win, I would say, which is all they really need to do at this moment in time. They're just in a real, I was going to say a rut, but that's the opposite, isn't it?
Glut of points.
What's the opposite of a rut? I don't know.
A real rich vein of form.
Rich vein of form, that's the word. You'd think I would know words working in this job, but I don't. And they're just kind of used to winning at the moment. First half was, it started off really well. There was chances at both ends. It looked like it was going to be a good end-to-end kind of game, and then it fell flat. Queens had a really good chance just before half-time that Jack Hamilton should have scored, but managed to hit. I think Liam Smith was in the right place at the right time and blocked.
We'll say a good clearance.
It was a really bad finish. It really was. So they kind of got away with that a wee bit, but then they made it pay right after half-time. Mark Connolly with a superb header. Really
great,
good
great for him as well to get on the score sheet. He had his injury problems this season. He's a real top professional, and he's sat on the sidelines and been part of the squad, and sort of Robbie and a lot of other guys in the team see him as a leader. So for him to start that game among a host of changes as well due to injuries, to see that out the way they did and sneak that one is a mark of what looks like is going to be a team that's crowned champions at the end of the season.
Well, I think Robbie saw it as a good chance to give him a game, because obviously he's had to wait. He's been back for probably a couple of months now.
Yeah, he's just been coming 5 minutes, 10 minutes here and there off the bench.
Because Watson and Reynolds have been so strong and you just couldn't take them out. But because it was on the plastic park, it was a wee chance just to give Reynolds a bit of a rest, because his history, his knee. I can't speak today.
He was kneeling
down and he did his knee. That was the problem. He damaged his knee up at Cove, I think it was, on the plastic park.
Yeah, he's got a history of that. And he's played a lot of games this season as well.
It was just a good chance, I think.
Off the back of having a pretty bad injury towards the end of his time at Aberdeen. So, a great opportunity for a lot of people in the squad. Declan Glass was another one who came in after his
He was good.
His long spell at Clove as well. He was impressive enough.
Yeah, it seems that he'll add something.
It's two levels up, you've got to say, as well, from where he's been playing. So to make that jump in.
He's a confident boy as well. Yeah. I spoke to him after the game, I interviewed him after the game, and he spoke really well. Confident, wants to see himself as a Dundee United player over the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, that's got to be the ambition. Yeah. You look at, they're giving players chances. Mm-hmm.
And they're short midfielders at the moment. So
absolutely. I mean, that's what they're looking to strengthen, but they're giving guys like Appery chances. He's taking it. So why not Declan Glass?
He'll score goals. He's good from outside the area. Shots and stuff. He scored quite a few at Cove. So.
Well, the big thing for United is obviously the bounce back. I mean, not that they had the bounce back after the derby. Let's be honest. Because they've been on such a great run of winning for them. The draw in the derby, everybody went, well, that's a bit of disappointment there for Dundee United. You know, is this the start of the slide? But let's be honest, there was never any signs of that in the derby. You know, a point was a good result for you.
It's an easy thing to say. It's one of those things that just sort of rolls off the tongue. You know, they need to bounce back and get back to winning ways, which is true because they drew a game. But it wasn't a setback.
The positive side is they've gone down there. They've managed to keep another clean sheet. Yeah. But I mean, by far and away, they must have more clean sheets than the rest of the teams put together, I think, in that division, you know.
I think so they're on 12 or something.
That's the basis to go and win a game. They go down there, they get one goal, that's enough for them to win. And he's managed to bring in make a couple of changes, two or three changes, Connolly, Sporrell, Glass comes in as well. And they still do it. They still go over the line, you know. There's just no stopping them at the moment. And Robbie must be a very content manager here and now. And he's that allows him, you know, with the points advantage that they have. He can't, when guys like Mark Reynolds go, well, you know what, I don't really fancy playing on this asset of this week, he can't leave him out. Mm-hmm. Because he's got that gap and he can trust in boys like Mark Connolly to come in and do a job for him. So, a great position for him to be in going forward.
I mean, looking just at the, I think it's important sometimes just to underline how well they've done this season. You look at the pure numbers, 14 points clear at the top of the table, no defeat since the middle of October. That's 11 games unbeaten. They've won 16 of their 20 games this season. I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. It's
remarkable stats, and they're only a point behind Robbie's Hearts team that won the league in 2015 at the same point of the season when they won it. So they're on track to kind of potentially break records if they keep going the way they are.
They are freakishly consistent, I would say. Mm. For the championship, as we see with all our teams, nobody's ever really that consistent. Even when I look back at Rangers and Hibs, they were never that consistent, really. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Hearts were, but.
No, it's quite outstanding.
And it's wins as well. I mean, we're talking about this. They had no draws until the derby. The derby was their first draw of the season. I mean, that's remarkable, really.
It's quite an outstanding run, and you're waiting for them to slip up just to change the sort of the story. Yeah, give us something a wee bit different. Not that we're going to see them do poorly, because we're not. We want them, obviously, they look as though they're going to go on and win this league at a canter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's quite amazing. And Robbie has done it before with Hearts, so credit to him. He obviously knows what it takes to win games in this division.
He's been doing a fantastic job. I mean, I'm only just back from St Andrews myself there, speaking to Robbie and some of the players, and Robbie was picking up his Manager of the Month award today for December.
He'll not have much space on his mantelpiece left.
No, but
big trophy, he's got three of them.
That's his third now, and he won a few at Hearts as well. He was asked that question, and he couldn't even remember how many he won at Hearts that season they went up. So I don't think he actually keeps them in his mantelpiece. Probably in the loft or the garage or something like that.
Sure, the sponsors are delighted with that.
And obviously, Callum Butcher won the Player of the Month award as well. As much as I tried to kind of preemptively write a Nicky Clark spread for tomorrow's paper, thinking it was going to be him after his scoring form he played. But
we knew a United player was getting Player of the Month. I'm sure I was told after the game, but I couldn't remember exactly who it was.
I mean, I was really close to phoning the SPFL actually and just saying, this is an absolute outrage. You got to change this because I've written 600 words on this. But I didn't want to get on the wrong side of Callum Butcher because he's a big scary dude. So
I would suggest you keep a hold of that Nicky Clark spread because it could come in handy between now and the end of the season.
It could.
The way United are going,
it could. But obviously well done to Callum Butcher on getting that award. He's been a really consistent and important part of United's team all season. And over the course of the month as well, there was other players we were trying to highlight and think how well they'd done. Sam Stanton had been in decent form, and Louis Appery as well, he's kind of found the back of the net more regularly towards the end of the year. So all rosy in the garden at the moment, and looking towards the window, they've got eyes on a few people in terms of a trial game to look at players.
Yeah, just the five trialists, was it?
I think it's quite a few. Yeah, yeah, I mean,
it's one way to do it, isn't it? In terms of looking to strengthen in January, because there's not much out there.
I think the position they're in, they're obviously, they've got their eye on one or two players that they've asked to come and play in this trial, but they'll be getting offered players as well to have a look at, you know, and so they take the opportunity to get a look in a game, and obviously, you know, the vast majority of them won't get a contract, but if you could come up trumps with one or two, then,
yeah,
you know, they're in an ideal position now where they're not just looking at this season, they are looking at next season, so... Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be interesting to see who comes in this window, if it's anyone permanent or if it may be just a short-term deal up to the end of the season.
Yeah, well, a midfielder's certainly an area where they want to try and strengthen and bring someone in.
Yeah, Robbie said that on Saturday at Palmerston after the game.
Yeah, an American midfielder, Dylan Powers, is in on trial as well. Brilliant name, I think, just sign him for that. I think that's...
He's not played a huge amount over the last few years. So
headlines write themselves. Ah, we don't worry about that, Josh. We're worrying about the headlines and the subtext and all that.
Dylan.
Puns and stuff. Yeah, Dylan. Class name.
Ian Hearts has done well.
Yeah, he's
done
well.
Over the pond, so.
Exactly. So there's obviously gems out there to be plucked, and they're in a position where they've got knowledge out there with the connections that the owners have, and then Tony Ascar and Robbie as well, of course.
I think they're a wee bit short now on midfielders. There's been a few injuries that have kind of hit that area, and Cam Butcher limped off on Saturday, which is a bit of a concern, but Robbie kind of...
Yeah, we got an injury update from Robbie this morning, and I'm just looking at the list of players I've got written down here. Peter Pollitt's a long-term one with his ankle. He's going to be out for another couple of weeks maybe. Sam Stanton should be okay.
That's good. He's been really good.
He's been a steady performer, and it's a central midfielder as well.
Yeah.
Whether he'll start the game, I don't know. Paul McMillan's maybe going to be another week, Robbie reckons. Ian Harkes is progressing well, but touch and go for the weekend. Callum Butcher should be fine.
Is he going to wear a mask?
I didn't ask that, but that would be
Batman.
That'd be excellent. Obviously, Ian Harkes, we're talking about, he's got a cheekbone injury here. So
He's a pretty boy, though. Will he like the mask on?
Well, if it's a kind of like a designer mask or something, kind of Gucci mask or something.
You get the feeling though, the way
other mask brands are available.
Yeah.
You get the feeling the way Dundee United are going at the moment. Robbie could possibly just go out into the crowd and pluck someone from the middle and say, right, you're on from the start, and you'd go and score a goal for him, win the game for him.
I'm sorry, I've seen some of the shape of some of the people in the press box and stuff like that. Just alone, I don't think any of us could do a job in the United midfield. Mark Connolly should be fine. Paul Watson should be fine. The big kind of setback is Jamie Robson, who's also kind of hurt his face. I'm not sure if it's a cheekbone.
Was that in the game?
Exactly. That was in the game. And he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. So that's a big loss. But they've got Adrian Spoiler there, who's done well. Maybe he'll shift back into left back.
Yeah, he's okay on
it. Was a problem before, if I recall correctly, it was at Alloa where Liam Smith shifted to left back.
Yeah, and
Paul Watson at right back, and it just didn't really seem balanced properly. But it'll be interesting to see how they cope with that on Saturday when they go to Partick Thistle. I can't see Jimmy Robson making that, going by the way Robbie's talking. So big loss, because he's been a great player for them this season as well in terms of consistency.
Oh, he's part of that defensive unit, isn't it? That's just been so tight and given teams absolutely nothing. Bar the start of the season, and they've come into a run of form where they give teams no goals, and it paves the way for you to go and snatch a game 1-0. So it'll be interesting to see how they cope, because he's been one of the mainstays of that back four on Saturday at Partick.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure. Did he mention anything about Sporla? I don't know how it pronounced that.
Sporla. But no.
Just because he'd spoken about him, what, a couple of months ago, I think. So he's done quite well. He quite likes him in training, but the language barrier has been the problem.
Mm-hmm. He seems to be settling in.
I think that's why he's not played at left back, because communication with
the other defenders
has been an issue.
I think Robbie liked him when he came on in the derby, and I think it was Mickey Clark in the last kind of 10-15 minutes, and just sort of helped him see the game out. He didn't seem too fazed by the occasion. He's obviously got quality.
He had a couple of really nice touches on Saturday.
So it's maybe just taking him time to adapt to the Scottish football. You've seen that with Ian Harkes, it took him a wee bit to get kind of his feet on the ground. And
he spoke the language as well.
Yeah, and he even spoke English, not Dundonian English, but English nonetheless.
So it's interesting to see whether he puts Sporrell at left back or if it'll be Liam Smith again.
Yeah, I'm sure Robbie's got a plan in his head. We'll just see what unfolds there. Another area was up front. They were looking to bring someone in to to provide competition up front. But
well, they've got big Osmond Sow.
Well, man. This is it. With Osmond Sow coming back, I think they're not going to bother going for a striker because they were looking for someone who...
Do you think he might actually play again?
This is what Robbie's saying this morning. They're looking for someone who was kind of tall, can hold up the ball, win headers, which is, you know, Osmond Sow ticks a lot of those boxes does, already. So I think the idea is to try and work him back up to full match speed and fitness because he's been dogged by injuries a wee bit. And there's a player in there, he was talking about, you know, we had him at his time at Hearts before. He'd scored plenty of goals at that level. He looked like he was coming on to a wee bit of a game towards the end of his time at Killie.
It's also the fact that they could play him. He might do well, but then that'll attract other clubs as well to his availability. I mean, he is out of contract in the summer, so you never know what might happen between now and the end of the transfer window.
I think the thing for United is they know they've got Shankland, they've got Clark, they've got Apery. Osmond Sow, or any other striker they were going to bring in before he came back from Kilmarnock, was only going to be coming in as sort of cover. So they might not even have to use him that much.
If he's
going to come in as cover for the end, towards the end of the season for 10, 15 minutes and have an impact in games.
He's on a big wage though, that's the thing.
Yeah, but if his contract running down, it's just who takes him? Who takes him now? He can't go back out on loan because he's played for two clubs this season. So he'd have to be a permanent transfer.
Has he played for United this season?
He played for United right at the start of the season, I think, in the cup or something like that. Right. So it turns out that he can't.
So he can't go anywhere.
He can be registered for three clubs, but he can't play. So I don't know why anyone would pay money for him now.
No, exactly.
To not then play him.
So you might as well use them then. Yeah.
Yeah, he might as well. He's basically going to be there till the end of the season. Yeah. It seems. So it's more options up front for a team that's already doing well in that department.
Well, again, it's a good one for the manager, isn't it? Let's be honest, he can't have enough players, you know, in reserve, so it's a good position for him to be in. He can play him if he needs him. If he doesn't, he just lets his contract run down.
It's all pretty positive on that side of Tannadice Street for United. On the other side of the street, it's a slightly different story. Yes, Dundee. You see, my tone like just instantly changed. Yes, Dundee. it's probably one of their worst performances, admittedly, even by the manager saying that, you know, this is against Inverness, losing 2-0 on Saturday was up there with their worst defeats of the season and performances.
A few people have said that.
Yeah, they've fallen back into fourth in the Championship. And I think the most surprising and disappointing thing about it was they'd gone into that game in the back of a four-match unbeaten run, a well-earned point in the derby where they were probably slightly edged it, and didn't, from the first kick of the ball, didn't show up. And after 25 minutes, most people in that stadium could see the game was done in terms of a contest. Really, really gut-wrenching for the club.
I think so, Carl. I mean, I think the biggest disappointment for the fans who were there, and they were there in numbers again on Saturday. I think obviously coming on the back of a decent run, the team didn't play well on Saturday. All aspects, defensively and attack-wise. But the biggest thing for the fans was the lack of fight after going two behind. It looked as though the game was over, and we saw that. I think it reminded me of the Derby game at Dens when United went 2-0 up and saw the game out quite comfortably. Now, there's ways to lose a game, and that's certainly not one of them. And James McPeak... must be pulling his hair out. I know he's not got a lot of hair to pull out, I've got to say. But
don't mention that. That's a touchy subject.
That's what you said to me, George.
Thanks, Rube.
But, you know, he must be baffled as to the sort of performance that his players put in.
Yeah,
because I was absolutely shocked by it.
It's hard to pinpoint, you know, you look at, it was the exact same team that played at Tannadice. You know, it's easy to go and say, oh, this is poor management from James McPeak. But if that team did well, you go and field them again, expecting something similar. John Robertson came out after the game and explained how his team had set up and the way they wanted to exploit Dundee on the flank. So you can look at it from that way and say, this is poor management, but the first half was diabolical. But after the second half, when they brought them in and maybe had a strong word with them, they came out in the second half, it was a lot better. Not perfect by any stretch because they didn't manage to score a goal, but they were a hell of a lot better.
It's a bit easier when you're already 2-0 down.
To go and have a go at your players, but...
No, yeah, I mean, for the players.
To go and have a go.
Top of their game.
Yeah. I think at home as a home team, Dundee, one of the biggest teams, one of the two biggest teams in this league, should be going after every team at home.
They've had real problems at Dens over the last few years winning games, and the malaise seems to still be there. I know the players will say, well, it's not, we can play here, we can cope, but they're not showing it.
Well, you look at some of the games.
Nervous at Denge. Yeah, we've seen it.
Inverness, yep. United, yep. Queen of the South, Partick, Elgin.
Dunfermline, where they nearly threw it away.
He struggled at Morton as well and won it late when Jamie Ness scored the winner. So, but yeah, a lot of the blame can be portioned to the manager and also the players. I think it's they all have to kind of have a look at themselves and get some good work done in January before anything too hasty is done in terms of.
I mean, I think you're right, because I think worryingly looking at Dundee's bench at the weekend, they looked really light.
Really light.
Really light. I mean, lightweight in terms of sort of experience, but you know, lightweight in terms of sort of the size of players they've got on the bench. Yeah.
Quality just attacking quality. Yeah, it was mainly kind of defensive minded players.
You've lost McDade, you've lost Nelson, but I mean, Josh Dodd still, for me, flatters to deceive at times. He came on and didn't really do himself any favours. Yeah. Looks as though he's lacking in a wee bit of confidence. But you look, I mean, Dundee hardly laid a glove on Inverness, and it was, looking at the game from the sidelines, it was blatantly obvious Inverness are a far more powerful side than Dundee. I mean, you look at, and I was just doing having a wee check, and you look at Inverness, and they've got players like, here we go, Sean Rooney, 6'2.5", Cole Donaldson, 6'2", Jordan White, 6'3.5", Nikolai Todorov, 6'2.5", Charlie Telford, 6'3.5".
Charlie Telford. Charlie Telford's definitely not 6'2.5".
Charlie Telford was 6'2.5".
Bailey's 4'2.5".
When he was on Paul McMullen's shoulders. Charlie Telford, there's a name for the past, but no, big side, you know, and Dundee, you've got to find a way to combat that, you know, but I'm not saying that Inverness are a bunch of hammer throwers.
No.
They've got guys like Aaron Dorn and James Keaton's up front who did a great job for them.
Those were the guys that got the goals, really good goals, poor defensively from Dundee in terms of the way they conceded them, because John Robertson, the Inverness manager, speaking after the game, I always find John Robertson really interesting and an impressive guy when he speaks, but particularly after this game, he seemed the kind of guy you'd want to play for, the kind of manager you would respect. Want to run through a cliche, run through a brick wall through, but tactically as well, I think he's underrated, because it sort of made James McPake look like the rookie manager that he sort of is, because after the game, Robertson quite calmly sat down and said, this is how we picked Dundee apart in the first half. He knew that Paul McGowan and Sean Mackey were going to play narrowly in that midfield four, because they're not, Mackey kind of is, but McGowan certainly isn't naturally a wide player. So he was getting his wing backs to bomb on really high and just play hopeful balls into the flanks and hope that they pick up the ball in dangerous spaces, and they did.
The first one is a big it's a big punt, but it's from a throw, and they knew exactly what they were doing. They switched to play very quickly from left to right. Mackey's caught Dreamin, the ball sails over his head, it goes down the wing. I think it might have been Rooney.
It was Rooney.
Dundee were really lopsided though. I was watching just before it came out, and the whole back four is basically on the right, enough right back position.
Being pulled over. But I mean, it's still a bit of work to do. Great finish from Dorns.
Yeah, fantastic finish.
Sitting goal.
They just able to do best, I think, in Inverness, which is sit in, absorb pressure, like you say, use their physical presence, and then just break on teams at the pace of Story, Keaton's. Sean Rooney did brilliant for that goal.
Second goal, rare mistake from Jordan Marshall, I've got to say. He should have stayed on his feet. He dived in. And Keaton's gets the break of the ball and he's away. And a great finish to make it too. And after that, I've got to say, Dundee, you've got to do much better. They've got to do much better than that, certainly at home.
There was no instant response, you know. It was not until the second half that they started to show a bit of fight and character. And that'll upset the fans, obviously, but it'll upset James McPake as well. And he looked a man that was starting to feel the heat and the pressure a wee bit.
Do you think it might change things up this weekend? So another big game.
In terms of his selection.
I think he's limited to what he can do.
He is very limited. Maybe formation-wise.
Yeah, you might have to do a wee tweak on the formation.
I think that big pitch at Dens when they were at Tannadice, it's a big pitch at Tannadice as well, don't get me wrong, but it's slightly more narrow at Tannadice. I think Dens is just such a massive area that when they play so narrow like that in the midfield, they're going to get caught out by teams who've got assets on the wings.
Well, it does sound like they'll have Declan McDade back, him and Jamie Ness trained on Monday, I should say, if people aren't listening.
Well, I would imagine if McDade's fit, he will be a stick on to start.
I think they've really missed him,
You know, I mean,
they could do with another Declan McDade in the team as well.
We've spoken about it. I mean, they won the game at Partick Thistle at Canter with that team, think almost, you know. And
Partick are in really good form.
Did well at Tannadice, but it just seemed to be, you know, when they did go behind the second goal, there was nothing there for them. And then you look at it and you look at guys like, I'm going back to Sean Mackey again, I'm not wanting to be overly critical, But he's basically a left back playing on the left hand side of midfield. Yeah. Similarly, Paul McGowan isn't a right winger, so you have no real width in the team driving forward trying to get balls into the box.
Paul McGowan isn't a right winger, despite George's best efforts to shoehorn him into his team with a decade on right wing. Yeah. Do you think James McPake heard that and thought, "Okay, well, that's a good idea, George. I like that."
I think
Paul McGowan on the right wing.
Obviously, I'm a tactical.
Is Gary Harkins available?
No, I think it's a case of getting your best players in the team. That's what the manager's been trying to do with having. I can't speak at all.
You do this every week, George. You have to sort it out. It's like Dundee. It's just keep repeating yourself, doing the same things over and over again, and expecting different results.
George, you put all your best players in the team, but that doesn't mean you've got a good team on the park. You've got to have a balance to play. I mean, at the moment, what I see is that a side that isn't really functioning, and as such, you've got two strikers who are starved of any real service into that box. They've got to go and find it for themselves. Now, that's not to say they can do better. In particular, I thought Danny Johnson had a poor game on Saturday. But to me, he's a box player. He relies on scraps in the box. Yeah. And there was nothing there.
And there's no option to change it either. You saw on Saturday, young Michael Cunningham comes on and does his best for 5 minutes towards the end of the game. But Andrew Nelson's now out with, a hand injury for a couple of weeks,
broken a bone in his hand and needed surgery. Start of the week. So 4 weeks.
And that's a big chunk of this. Mm-hmm. What is a crucial part of the season now.
Yeah. And the manager was saying that he was just coming back into real fitness after he'd hurt his foot.
I think he's a real favourite with the Dundee fans. I think Andrew Nelson, he's one
I think he really adds.
People want to see a bit more of, maybe.
Plus, he's one of these boys that gives you something. Whether it's a tackle on a defender or whatever, you know, he always looks as though he's putting a shift in. And I think that always stands you in good stead with the supporters.
Before his previous injury, he'd been given an option on the left as well. Having McDade on the right, Nelson on the left seemed... He's not really a winger, but he'd given a bit of balance out there. Didn't do so well in the derby, but up to that point he was doing quite well, and I think they've missed that as well. And obviously McDade's been out. I think they could do with another.
Yeah, we've been seeing this for weeks now, haven't they? Clone
him and put him on the other side.
Yeah, need someone to compliment him on the other side of the park. But
I was talking about what was the wee guy at Ayr United, Forrest?
Alan Forrest, he's been linked with both clubs. Yeah. But in terms of a transfer update for Dundee, what we do know is Josh Milligan's away on loan to Cove Rangers, the young midfielder. It should be good for his development, surely, when you look at Declan Glass and the way he went to Cove and did really well. So good luck to him. Sam Fisher, who'd been out on loan as well.
He's out for the season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's now out for the season. So he's back with the club, recovering from his injury. Josh McPake on his way back to Rangers after picking up injuries, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I need to check whether his loan was to the end of the season or 6 months. I can't remember.
But he's out anyway. The big kind of news it's been circulating around here is Graham Doran's been linked with a move away, whether that's this month or at the end of the season. MK Dons has been the team that's mainly been credited with approaching him. Russell Martin's their manager. Obviously, he played with Doran's for club and country at different points of their careers.
Yeah, and he's admitted that he's spoken to him. And Doran's has been very upfront with the club as well.
And McPake came out and said, you know, they're aware of this clause, but it's not going to leave them to the point where they will get compensation. He won't just leave for nothing.
I think the manager, the exact words he used last week was, it's heavily weighted in our favour, is what he said. And he made sure that, I think they got burnt a bit last year with Glenn Kamara disappearing for pittance, really.
Yeah,
although he'd much rather keep Dorans than...
I think so. I think Graham Dorans was at the stage of his career where he has to look really closely about what he's going to do over the next couple of years. And if he gets a chance to go back down to England and play there where you know the finances are much better, you could earn a contract here.
Yeah.
There may also be a path into coaching.
No, you're right, because he's coming towards the twilight years of his career, even at 32. And he kind of looked a frustrated figure on Saturday. I did a lot of the players, to be fair, but there's obviously truth in that his future is up in the air at Dens, which would be disappointing, because I think there's more to come from him. We've seen good flashes, but maybe not seen consistently what Graham Dorans can do, but we'll see what comes of that by the end of January, whether he's here till the end of the season or not.
I get the feeling he might be away, but that's nothing really to
back. Yeah, that is the feeling.
A wee bit of information.
I think Dundee could counter that. If Dorans was to go, if they were able to bring in you know, maybe a couple more attacking players, a wide man and maybe another striker to bolster.
It might also give them the option to get McGowan back in the middle.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say. The good thing is they have options in the middle of the park. McGowan's sort of wasted out in the wing. If they can get a wide player in.
You've got Ness here as well.
Ness, Finn Robertson, who's been excellent this season, really consistently good for someone so young. McGowan's been decent. Sean Byrne still to prove his best form.
They are pretty well covered there. If Dolan's wants to go,
they are covered. It would be disappointing because he's high quality, but it certainly wouldn't be a disaster.
Yeah, and just to confirm that, just checked on my phone. I shouldn't have my phone here, but Josh McPeak's only till January, so
it looks like he's going back to Rangers.
Yeah,
Craig White's another name that's been linked with Dundee as well.
Yeah,
he's returned to the club potentially.
In terms of the club, there's been no real mention from them. Yeah, I mean, it's been two together.
I could be wishful thinking from the fans. I mean,
I'm sure if he was offered, I'm sure he would take it.
Absolutely, yeah, but you've got to think, is it a good move for Craig Whiting to come back to Dundee, you know, at this stage in his career? I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm sure the fans would love to have him back.
He needs to go somewhere where he can get football because he's a guy since he's a very young age bursting onto the scene. He's not played football consistently enough.
He's another who's has been blighted with injury, but you're right, Callum, he needs to play games.
I think it's down to the Hearts manager and where he sees him, because I think he has played him. So whether he sees him as part of his first team.
What you need as well, George, as we've seen in the past, you need somebody that's going to come in and is game fit, is match ready to play. You don't want somebody who's going to be 3 or 4 weeks down the line, it's going to take them to get up to speed, because we've been here before. You know, by the time the player gets going, it's too late. You've already lost another 2 or 3 games. So anybody that's coming in has to be ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
You know, so that's got to be taken into account.
Brilliant. Before we go any further, obviously Dundee in their match programme on Saturday at Inverness had a message, kind of New Year's message from the owners.
Nicely timed before one of the worst performances of the season.
Exactly, from the owners, Tim Keyes and John Nelms. Just stating to the fans their review of the year and what's been and gone, and they're under their kind of stewardship of the club and improvements that have been made and things they've maybe learned. But the big takeaway from it was they once again have made a pledge to the supporters that the new stadium plans for that will be submitted this year. And I think the phrase they use is they want to get this thing built. It sounds almost kind of like Boris Johnson-y, Donald Trumpish almost. I don't want to kind of drag their name through the mud there, but get this thing built. We got to get this thing built. So we'll see what happens.
Was that Boris or
that
Trump?
Was Trump.
Right, okay.
Just a general American poor accent.
They've been saying it for a few years now. And I mean, I think John Nelms was quoted as saying there'll be a shovel in the ground.
2018.
In the summer of 2018 or something like that, wasn't it? So, you know, you can't keep saying it, Callum. It's got to be. We need action here.
This is the thing.
It'd be fantastic.
It's newsworthy because they've said it, but they've got to sort of back up their words now, because this has been going on for 3 or 4 years. And like you said, it would be great, because it would be a fantastic facility for the club and the city. Up at Camperdown, let's just hope it starts to move forward somehow. Okay, moving on. On to some of your opinions about things we say on this podcast. Which we realise you don't always agree with, which is okay.
Everyone agrees with me.
Yeah, that's because you're a nice guy, George. That's one of your big failings in life.
Definitely not true.
That's what they say.
Everyone agrees.
That's what they say to your face, George. Anyway, let's say your face.
We've had some feedback on some of the last couple of episodes on this podcast. We'll get on to the team of the decade stuff soon. We've had people kind of coming in with their opinions on it and where they change. But before we move on any further, we touched on the Kane Hemmings racism story after the derby. There's obviously a video emerged, for anyone that isn't aware, of a fan or a supporter, a person, we don't want to call him a fan, but a person in the crowd allegedly aiming racist abuse towards Dundee striker Kane Hemmings. We discussed that in the podcast. I think a lot of people maybe misconstrued some of my words when I was discussing what was going on. We obviously condemned it massively. It's got no place in the game. What was said was, it's not the first time it's happened in this city with that player, i.e. Kane Hemmings, or at that club, i.e. Dundee having to deal with that. Obviously, of course, we're talking about the incident in the derby and also some things that were, some unsavoury and horrible things that were said towards Kane on Twitter. But we're moving on from that now. I'm sure the relevant authorities are dealing with that issue, and it's something that no one here condones. Team of the decades, we've had a lot of feedback, good and bad. from people about our selection. I can't remember our exact team, but if I run through it quickly, I think it was Chesniak. It's a combined team of the decade.
No, that was your United team. You were just getting a bit of flack for,
so I was.
For picking United.
Yeah.
Goalkeepers.
Anyway, sorry.
It was Bain and goal.
Bain. Irvine.
And not Scott Bain, not the boy from Batman.
Irvine, Dillon.
Yeah.
McPake, Robertson, Mackay
Stephen. How did he get in? How did Andy Robertson get in?
Ridiculous. Mackay Stephen.
Just ask Adrian Durham.
Armstrong, Thompson, Conway, Daly, and Stewart. That was our team.
Well combined done, Colin. Well
team
remember.
Of the decade. That's not bad, is it? Hey.
Thompson.
For the last decade, Kevin Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
It was your pick. I was gunning for Glenn Kamara here. But anyway, some people have had their own opinions on a combined team of the decade for Dundee and Dundee United.
And we should probably say that our opinion, they were our opinions.
It's an opinion. This is anything that...
People have tried to tell us we're wrong. It was an opinion.
Yeah, you can't be wrong if it's your opinion. But we welcome other people's opinions. If people want to criticise our team, I'll listen to it as long as they give an alternative. And we have someone here who's given us an alternative via email. Jerry Dignan, he's said, being honest and stating DFC loyalties, but also attending Tannadice, I don't think it was a great 10 years for either club. I think we can all kind of agree with that in terms of, you know, success, apart from a few instances for either club. However, I have issues with two choices, and I think it was one each for me and George that he wasn't happy with, so that's not bad. To choose Craig Conway simply because he scored two goals in a specific game is debatable, to say the least. Gary Harkins was much more entertaining, always did the unexpected. There you go. You've been validated there. Gary Harkins, people were behind that. And he also finds the choice of John Daly ridiculous. Overrated. He wants Keane Hemmings to link with Greg Stewart, as it's a much more obvious choice. Thanks for your correspondence, Jerry. And it's good to hear your thoughts on it.
I've got to say, Jerry, I mean, you mentioned right at the start, being honest, stating Dundee FC loyalties. Well, you've just confirmed it. You've just confirmed it by dumping Craig Conway and John Daly and getting Gary Harkins. We're trying
to keep it kind of 6-5 yeah. for the two teams.
This is well. I like the point you make about, you know, Keane Hemmings to link with Greg Stewart. Like, this is a real team that's going to take to the field at some point. You know, this is a hypothetical situation that we're talking about here. But it's one of these things that happens at the end of every year or every decade. People make their opinions of everything that's happened, and there's so much that's happened that it's no one's ever going to agree 100%.
Well, I did get
apart
a bit
from
of,
us three because we're so in sync with each other.
Yeah, of course. Did get a bit of positive feedback on it. Apparently, it was a Belton team of the decade shouted through the corridors at Dens Park from a certain Gary Irvine.
Oh, you would say that,
yeah. So if you're listening again, Gary, hello.
Cheers, guys.
That was kind of weird, wasn't it? I didn't know what I was going to say there.
If you're listening again,
so we need to be careful what we're talking about.
Yeah,
people are actually listening to this podcast.
But yeah, it's good. It's good that people are listening. And like we said before, you were the
skipper too, Gary. Well done.
Like we said before, if anyone wants to tell us anything about the things we're saying or anything that's happening in football across the city or anywhere else, is the Twa Teams One Street fan line on 01382 575 520. You can email sport@eveningtelegraph.co.uk or on Twitter. I'm sure you know where to find us because you often do. Just to wrap up, we're going to look at something out with the city that's been going on. The FA Cup's third round has been taking place down south. Some cracking ties, I have to say. I mean, it's a competition that's came in for a bit of flack in recent years for the seriousness or lack of seriousness in which it's held by clubs, particularly the elite clubs down there. But I thought there was some really... It showed English football in a good light in terms of the lower league clubs and younger players in some of the games.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, in terms of all the changes and stuff, the Premier League kills it with all the games they've got in the run-up to it.
Competitions like Liverpool going to the Club World Cup certainly doesn't help either.
No, but all the clubs had to change their teams because the Premier League game, there have been so many Premier League games. But yeah, it's a great chance for boys like Curtis Jones to come in and score such a great goal for Liverpool and kind of make a name for himself out of nowhere, really.
Such a massive game as well, and the Merseyside derby will be remembered.
Yeah, and there was a few others you've picked out. Tom Pope's... I'm going to speak. I'm not just going to read. That's weird. Tom Pope scores against Man City after John Stones beef.
Some serious beef. I've been waiting to get some beef in the podcast.
Stones beef. What's Stones beef?
Stones Beef was, this is Tom Pope, who is the Port Vale centre forward. Yeah. And I think it was during the Nations League final. He was watching it on TV. England were playing Holland at the time, I believe. And he was commenting on John Stones and saying, can't believe he gets paid X amount a week and he's worth X amount. If I was playing against him every week, I'd get at least 40 goals a season. Right? Big talk from the boy. Obviously, names come out of the hat. Port Vale against Man City. He's going to come up against John Stones potentially. Teams are out. He is. He scores, which is great. And then, they go on and get beat 4-1 off of Man City. But after the game, he kind of quote tweeted his original tweet and put, make that 50 goals a season. So nice. I thought that was funny. I thought that was brilliant. Some other great games as well. So Tranmere coming back to draw with Watford, that was 3-3 in the end.
I think, there were some great games. I think the thing for me though was watching it on the TV was looking at clubs that are in the Premiership and their stadiums were empty. And I think that's where the standard of the competition lies nowadays, yeah. Unfortunately. But when growing up, the FA Cup was always a magnificent competition. Nah. But sadly, it's gone down the pecking order. Maybe rightly so, given the amount of finances involved.
Yeah. Arsenal put a strong team last night against Leeds.
And got absolutely battered for
45 minutes. They came through and won at the end, but it was good. You saw a good crowd at that game.
I'm looking at more like places, maybe sort of Southampton and things like that. In the Premiership, their stadiums are full. Mm-hmm. And you see them now in the FA Cup, and there's the big empty ends. It's like you're watching games from Scotland, sadly. When you see the stadiums up here, but
I think that in kind of opposite of that, I think our Scottish Cup's actually doing really strongly in terms of that. We seem to keep the crowds, even though the season tickets obviously don't count. But
yeah, I mean, obviously our stadiums are tend to be vacant on a weekly basis sometimes. Exactly. Certain stadiums, but in England you're so used to seeing those Premiership grounds jam packed week in week out, but. No, some cracking games, and the goal from Curtis Jones, phenomenal goal.
Yeah, it's great. Although I there was a vote online for the best goal, and I voted for the Rotherham boy. I thought that was better. But everyone's voted for Liverpool because everyone loves Liverpool. Says the better Man U fan.
Anyway, that's all from us this week. As always, we like to keep it lighthearted. Sometimes we touch on serious issues, but it's always just about having a bit of chat about the football and the teams involved. So. Any opinions on that, you know exactly where to get us. See you next time.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it. Or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people find Twa Teams One Street, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget to pick up your copy of The Tilly Monday to Saturday for all the latest from Dens and Tannadice, or go to thetilly.co.uk to find out how you can get the paper delivered right to your door.